This is Margaret Coleman Frequence with another episode of Diabetic Survival. It's kind of funny how I can actually do podcasts and then all of a sudden I see something. I'm like, oh my goodness, I should have talked about this. I didn't even talk about it. Like, did I mention anything diabetic? Yeah, I did in the last episode. Good for me. Okay. So, just a disclaimer. I'm not a doctor. I'm just a diabetic girl trying to survive in this weird diabetic world. Surviving is hard enough as it is. You add up diabetes or other conditions onto it, it just increases the likelihood of you going crazy. Anyways. So, with that being said, keep checking out my door here. There was something I wanted to mention that I saw. I was just kind of curious and started looking things up as I normally do about diabetes. So I was kind of curious about, now of course I'm kind of like on a run with this Ozempic because it's kind of like that one miracle drug that I literally know hardly anything about, yet I'm putting it in my body. So of course I'm going to read up on it as much as possible. So like, what is the company who produces it or who started it and when did they actually put it out in the public? And, you know, questions like that. I mean, this is stuff I should have asked a long time ago and did my research a long time ago before actually, you know, deciding to actually use this stuff. But I decided to actually look it up later. Don't ask me why. Maybe it's because of other factors. But anyways, so I did. I looked it up and I didn't find any negative information. I'm sure it's out there somewhere, like the whole Sloopy Face incident where if you take this Ozempic stuff, it's going to make you lose too much weight in your face or whatever. I haven't experienced that yet, so I'm not even worried about that. I'll worry about that when it happens. But that's just proof to me that getting Sloopy Face is doing something, right? So the whole point is if you're doing this to better your health, who cares about if you got Sloopy Face or not? I mean, you're going to have it eventually anyways if you're old, so who cares? But there were other concerns that I had, like, there's certain precautions that they actually have to report on, like thyroid cancer. It's kind of a huge one right there. Not everybody's going to get it, and I did read that it's kind of rare. So I'm like, okay, good. May have nothing to do with that factor, but it might be, which is the reason why they have to disclose it. Or, of course, nausea and some other things, and, you know, then I was like, okay, whatever. So, Novo Nordisk is out of Denmark, I believe, is where the founding company actually started. And I'm not quite sure what year that was, but they're just depending on what you're looking at for top pharma companies. If you're looking at, and they call it anti-diabetes market, just kind of weird, but, where it sits, Novo Nordisk, who actually produces Ozempic, is actually number one when it comes to diabetes drugs. So, and by far, Ozempic is not on the scale of the best top drug for diabetics. And we're talking type 2 diabetics here, so not to confuse anybody. But metformin is still the number one drug in the world. It's called a humble and safe drug. So this means a lot. This means to me, this is basically telling me that Novo Nordisk actually means well. So if they're actually producing a drug which can be used worldwide to help diabetics out and lower that cost, they're not punishing diabetics for being diabetic, which is good because I don't think that we should be punished for something that we unfortunately inherited from our parents. So this is a good thing. And not to mention with diets nowadays, especially in the American diet, you know, promoting sugar and demoting anything else. It's kind of weird because they put sugar in everything. It's like they worship sugar or something. I don't, but they do. So Novo Nordisk is actually worth about $14.26 billion. I'm like, wow, they're worth billions. Surprised they're not worth trillions with as many diabetics as there are on the planet, but it's $14.26 billion. I mean, they're number one. They beat out, for instance, Eli Lilly, which is another diabetic company, Sanofi, American company, Boehringer Ingelheim, AstraZeneca, Johnson & Johnson, Merck, Bayer, and Takeda Pharmaceuticals. Like, Novo Nordisk is number one. And, of course, they supersede anybody's earning potential. If you're going to pick, like, for instance, if you're going to pick on the stock market, you know, NVO for Novo Nordisk, you're not going to find anybody higher. So, of course, don't have to tell you, buy low, sell high. So when there's negative news, that's a great time to buy. When there's positive news, that's probably a good time to sell. That's all I got to say. Buy low, sell high. That's how you make some pennies. And I say that because who can really afford stocks? But anyways, so the reason why, and thank you for joining in. If you're new here, thank you for listening to my podcast. Hopefully I make it entertaining enough to where you'll listen to further episodes or listen to some previous episodes. I have some really funny ones in the past. So, especially with some of the reviews I've actually done on people reviewing certain products and stuff that pertain to diabetes. So, I was going to talk about something which I know very little about. So, but I need to actually put it out there just because, if it can be a help to you to get something checked out, then by all means, I'm going to tell you about it. I'm not going to keep any secrets from you. But I wanted to know one of the leading cause of diabetics, because it's not necessarily diabetes that kills you. It's other things that will kill you. So you're all focused on diabetes. If you're anything like me, I'm focused on diabetes and not, you know, trying to do what I can to actually be as healthy as I can for the rest of the duration that I'm here on this planet. So I wanted to know what was the leading cause of death amongst diabetics. And I can't believe the whole time that I've been either pre-diabetic or diabetic, I never even asked because I want to try to avoid even having any type of those complications. But anyways, it's myocardial infarction. For those of you who don't know what that is, that's a heart attack. And you can have a heart attack or stroke with diabetes. So that's one of the reasons why you want to control your diabetes. It's something where a doctor did tell me a long time ago to take a low-dose aspirin, and that's actually a regimen I need to actually get back on, and I was really good about taking, and then one day I just stopped. Sometimes you just run out of medication, and it just doesn't come up again, and you don't even think about it. Something you buy over-the-counter, anybody can afford it. Low-dose aspirin, it prevents heart attacks. It's worth it. It reduces your risk of a heart attack or a stroke, so it keeps things, you know, regulated. And I think I've actually talked about a low-dose aspirin in the past. And remind you, I'm gonna say this again. I am not a doctor. If I suggest anything or tell you anything about what I'm going through or what I suggest, please get that checked out by a doctor, because I am not a doctor. I'm just a diabetic girl referring to what other doctors have told me and trying to use my best judgment. What will work? What won't work? And I generally run with the mass consensus of things. So if I have 5 to 10 doctors tell me I need to do this, and that's what I'm going to do. If I have one doctor saying something other than, I'm going to check it out. I'm definitely going to take them seriously. I'm going to see what other doctors say about what they're saying, and then I'm going to look at their expertise. So I got that interesting thing that I'm actually running with, and so far it's working very well for me. So But just, you know, I guess you can say I'm just here for entertainment purposes and for stuff that you can think about. But do not do something just because I may be doing it or your friend may be doing it. Definitely check with your doctor. This isn't one of those things where we're going to join the Me Too movement. No, we're not going to do that. Okay? Don't do that. I'm just saying, to prevent heart attacks, that's what I have been told by a few doctors. A low-dose aspirin will actually help prevent, especially since that's what we want to avoid. It's the number one leading cause of death. So definitely, next time you're in with your doctor, ask them what they think about a low-dose aspirin if you're not already taking it. So, and I was trying to break it down because I'm like, okay, what is, like, this heart attack thing when, I mean, I'm here at 50. Okay, I could have had a heart attack a long time ago, right? But I was taking baby aspirin, so who knows? Maybe I prevented myself from dying. Not sure. Heart attacks are more common amongst 55 to 64-year-olds. However, as you know, there were people dropping dead when they were taking the young kids, too, taking the vaccine. They were ending up having heart attacks. So, don't know what's going on there, but, you know, not a doctor. Go ask your doctor about that one. So, the way that they diagnose it is through EKG and cardiac markers. Another symptom would be nausea. And I guess women experience pain. They say some women experience, they say it's generally on the left side, but for women it could be on the right side and actually extend up into the jawline. And sometimes you get numbness, tingliness, or whatnot. So definitely discuss this with your doctor, since it is the number one cause leading to death for diabetics, if you haven't already. So I just wanted to get that out there. Now, metformin, and you know, I'm always praising metformin. I have not changed since 2011 on, or 2010 on metformin. Praise metformin as the number one drug for diabetics. You know, it keeps our numbers low, keeps us in check. It's humble, it's safe, it's affordable for most, generally everybody. I mean, it's a little bit easier to scrape up $7 for metformin than it is to scrape up $37 for another type of drug or even more. So, take, for instance, the infamous Wellbutrin for either depression or, to not smoke anymore. For instance, let's say you want to go that route. You could be spending hundreds of dollars on it, and it is a very effective product. It works very quickly, and like back when I actually used metformin, I only used it for a month. That's all I needed, and you have to have the desire to quit. Of course, nothing's going to cater to you by any means. The desire to quit, and then that's the drug that actually helps you. So if it's right for you, your doctor will actually prescribe that for you. But it's not necessarily there to help you quit smoking, as opposed to help with mild depression, which it does great. You can actually watch Chainsaw Massacre and not even flinch, and that's when you know you have a problem and you might want to get off of it. But anyways, that's besides the point. That's actually when I decided to get off of it. After a month, I think I lasted. Okay, so I got to go back to a story. I actually have to recant on a story I was actually telling in the last episode. And that's where a nurse had come in and she'd said that her pregnant daughter was actually on the weight loss drug and she was just taking it for weight loss. And actually, I forgot to mention that she was showing signs of prediabetes. So, I mean, that's what I was told and I forgot to say that. I need to make sure to tell the whole story. I don't want somebody getting super pissed off at me for telling a story, not mentioning any names, but just talking about it. And also remember, there's 8 billion people in the world, so it's probably not talking about you if you're listening. Okay, so nobody knows who I'm talking about, so don't worry. I wasn't trying to, like, point you out or anything, but, you know, it's just one of those things I have to mention because this is my diabetic channel. So go start your own channel and you can talk smack too. All right. So those were the things that I actually wanted to talk about. Also, I mean, I started looking at, I'll be honest, the whole top pharma companies on here. And I'm telling you, I really wish I had stock in Novo Nordisk right now. I'll explain why. And I should have, if I would have had money when they had a shortage of the drug, I think that would have been the best time to actually invest, because when I was actually looking at, you know, the little tick marks and stuff, it had actually dropped during that period of time, which would have been a great time to actually get in, because now it's starting to climb again and it has been higher than where it's at right now. So, and you know, the stock market was crazy last year, at least in cryptocurrencies, not necessarily stock market. They do kind of roll together, but not really. Kind of hard to explain. But at with them being worth $14.26 billion, people, there's, like, if you have some substantial money to make there, one, what a worthy cause to actually invest in a product that you use, you or your family uses itself. So, and I think that would go along the same lines as for something Warren Buffett would do. Like, for instance, he invested in things, when he first started investing, he invested in things that made sense to him, like McDonald's or Coca-Cola. I don't know if he's doing that still to this day, but more than likely he hasn't changed much, if he has changed at all. So I think that should be, like, for instance, when I start thinking about things, I don't necessarily invest in the products that I actually use, per se, but I think that if you're going to support a certain type of network, it's probably not a bad idea to actually do. So if you're actually using products by Novo Nordisk, by all means, invest in it. I mean, it's a worthwhile product. They're already producing something for you, hopefully at a discount, which I think metformin is. And it's something that helps other people as well. And I'm all about helping other people if I can, indirectly. So I'll explain it why indirectly, because I have tried to help out people directly and they always think there's other intentions going on, that I'm not trying to do them a favor or whatnot. They think that there's something else going on when there is absolutely literally nothing else going on. There's nothing else that I want. It's like, hey, just want to know. I mean, you showed interest in this. Want to know if you want to actually buy this product. Like, for instance, if I'm selling a product or whatnot, I'm like, this is how much I want for it, like $4,000. I'm like, I'm willing to give you a discount just because I need to get this done immediately. I need to act like Elon Musk and just do it. You know, kind of like when he bought Twitter. Yeah. One of those things. Or a rocket. Okay. So speaking of Elon Musk, because, you know, I like to jump around with different subjects. Okay. But let me backtrack a little bit first. So not every good deed that a person does, as I've found out, actually turns out the way you expected it. Sometimes people are just so, like, they've either been, I don't know, like, they have been tricked before or something. They just cannot, if they don't know you, they're going to think that something's up. I mean, like, try to give a homeless person $100 and see what happens. If they thank you right away, obviously that experiment failed. But there's some people that are going to think that you want something from them, or, how do you put it? Or that you're trying to, you know, there's a lot of different reasons why somebody might actually reject it. It's like, okay, what? Are they trying to call me poor? And let's say you were trying to give them $100 and they weren't actually homeless. They actually have a home and they're actually more well off than you are. But you thought they were homeless because the way they were dressed, right? And they're going to look at you and they're like, I don't need that. You know, that's like rude. You know, so it depends. So not every good deed is going to go the way that you thought it would. And there's always going to be people who take things wrong. There's always going to be people who think that you have other intentions. I actually don't have any other intentions doing my podcast besides it gives me really good practice in the world of podcasting / radio. It also helps me to actually study something that I actually have a problem with myself. And it's also something that I like to actually share with other people who may have not thought about that or who may have overthought something. Like, for instance, they forgot to take their vitamin D, or they forgot, you know, that potassium and magnesium are very important into the diet of a diabetic. They may have forgotten. I mean, that's my whole point and purpose. So there aren't any other intentions or anything that I'm going to try to get out of it. I mean, I may try to do t-shirts for diabetic survival later on or something of that nature, but it's just an idea floating around in my head. But I don't expect anybody to buy into it or anybody to even respond to it. So there you go. So if I hate to burst your bubble, people who may think that I have other intentions, but I just don't. It's just something I wanted to do. And it's something that has kind of taken off and kind of, you know, stirred my curiosity a little bit. So anyways, I just wanted to get that out. So if for instance, you don't know about something and you want to write in, there is a way that you can get a hold of me on Spotify, where you can actually leave a comment or you can answer a question or something of that nature. Because there's some people that are obviously more knowledgeable than I am, because I'm always learning something out there. And I really appreciate it when I do learn something new that I didn't know. So there literally cannot be, to me, there cannot be a greater subject, except for maybe art. And the world of art is crazy too, with painting, drawing, sculpting, etc. There's always something new to learn about a certain subject. And while some people, they may get for instance, a diagnosis of diabetes and then put their heads in the sand, forget about it, just take their pills and then continue on with life. I mean, that's so, it's sad. I understand you want to live your life and stuff, but you cannot live your life unless you take care of yourself. And that's something that I learned back in 2010, is I wanted to live a long, full, healthy, and invigorating life where I'm constantly learning, constantly doing it. I don't fear what's going to happen in the future because I'm prepared for it and I'm ready. So that's one of the reasons why I do what I do. Not to mention it's quite interesting, intriguing, and something that was actually spurred by my college at the time when I was going to Mesa Community College, because they were the ones that actually had the people in the community who wanted to launch new ideas, new innovations, I guess you can say, and kind of stir the pot a little bit for the imagination. And so I really thank Mesa Community College and allowing me to have, or to actually achieve those certain scholarships that I got back then, which are well over with. I met their requirements a long time ago and did what they wanted to. I was like kind of like the monkey with the, you know, the little puppet thingy. I'm doing what you want me to do. So, you know, let's go and do this. And now, just now, it's something that I do with my own free time that has actually stirred my curiosity to actually continue it. And I had no idea that I would be faithful to a project this long, for this long. And it's just absolutely been an amazing ride. Okay, so what was I going to say next? I think that was about it. It was something that was important, and I wanted to get that out about the top pharma companies and Novo Nordisk, Disc, and just tell you a little bit about what else was on my mind. I only get technically, like when you're doing a podcast, and I would hope and encourage you to take whatever you're passionate about and to make your own podcast. there are some, let me tell you something out there. There are just some podcasts out there that are just not interesting. And then there's some podcasts that are very interesting, and then they take it to the extreme, and some people put so many commercials on a really good podcast that they actually ruin it. So I try to have like one commercial, that's it. Then I go on to the next episode, one commercial, that's it. And it would be more profitable if I had more commercials. And I'm not saying it's not going to happen in the future. I don't like listening to commercials, which is the reason why I put it right up front, smack dab, in the front of the podcast, and then just go straight into podcasting. But one thing I have noticed is, especially when you're getting information and you're learning things or you're taking notes, like if you're taking notes, I'm really proud of you. You're probably doing better than I am. No, I'm taking notes too. Okay. Just so you know, we're all taking notes. But, I don't think that we need to be watered down with a bunch of commercials. You know, entertainment's one thing, and this is kind of entertainment, but it's also something where, you know, you jot down, it's like, oh, okay, well, I didn't know about the Nordisk. I never thought about investing in that, and let me go ahead and check that out with my broker, or why don't I go ahead and get on some app like Stash and maybe buy some micro shares, because maybe I do want to support the fact that they're actually making a product that can actually benefit me as a diabetic. And they are the number one company for diabetics, and they do have good intentions. They're not trying to kill off the human race. Okay. So we all know that there's some of those that do that too. Okay. Let's not kid ourselves. But that's one of the reasons why I'm actually going into this. I'm actually talking about it, is I think that it's very important that diabetics support top pharma companies that support us, that want to do good for us, like without any other intentions. They're just like, hey, we just want to help diabetics. We've had family members who've passed on. We've had like a mother, brother, sister, aunt, uncle, cousin, or the whole freaking family where diabetes was wiped us out. And we want to live longer than 50 or 30 or whatever, because this is really kind of a pain in the hide when you think about it, because if your whole family can be wiped out, what do you have if you don't have your family? You're just alone. So let's, and then you just have memories, and sometimes that sucks just to have memories of them, because you really want them back. You can't bring them back, right? But what you can do is you can keep them healthy, happy, and live longer based off the information that you actually find out and you support, and you make this world a better place. And that should be our goal, to make the world a better place for everybody, so that we have a better world as well, and our families have a better world, and our friends have a better world. That's my goal. Hopefully that's your goal. That's without any intent besides survival. And I think that I have the right to survival, just like you have the right to survival. That is my intent. Okay. Now, some people ask me what keeps me going. Well, one, I like to talk. I'll talk about anything, right? I learned something new, I want to talk about it. I want to get it out there. I want to stir your interest into making humanity better. Yes, absolutely. I get encouraged and I thrive off of knowing that people are taken care of. I don't thrive when other people are miserable. I just don't. I think differently, I guess. But I'm not the only one. I mean, you go on YouTube and you're going to find many doctors. So the reason why they went into what they did is because they want to help out a group of people. Usually see if they're losing weight or the diabetes thing. This was something where if you went back in 2010, like nobody was talking about this. Nobody talked about this. And it was even worse back in the 90s. I remember my own father talking to my mother about the products he was eating, how he had a diagnosis of diabetes. And of course, I was a little kid back then, right? And how he was going to get around actually reducing his carb usage, because his carbs were killing him, like it does most diabetics. And what he was going to do. Now, I always remember him eating carbs, because back then the standard was either 40, 45 grams or less, 30 grams or less. So you can have a little bit of carb here. And this is how you control your diabetes. You have to eat, you know, a simple meal. And he did. He ate moderate-sized portions for the most part. Sometimes he had a little bit more, you know, like big old huge steak or whatnot. But he also knew that the carb count was low on it. So he didn't really go into much detail besides the fact that he wouldn't allow any of his kids to have sugar hardly at all. I mean, he used to feed it to us like candy. Funny enough. Candy like candy when we were younger, but we always had very small amounts of it. I mean, very small amounts of it. Like, you know, that 10-cent drugstore candy where candy bar was like 40 cents and that was like 10 cents. You know, the little bitty get a taste of chocolate, but that's about it. That's what we got for the most part. Or I should say that's what I got. My brothers, who were actually much thinner than I was when I was a kid, actually got a little bit more. I was a little bit jelly, but you know, I mean, what you gonna do? It's like, okay, your kid, you're trying to lose weight. And of course I had been on multiple different diets even when I was a kid, 9 years old, and I'm on a diet, you know. That's the last thing a 9-year old wants to actually be on, is a diet that eliminates all junk food, all soda pop. Here's a diet tab. Yes, I was a drinker of diet tab when I was 8-9 years old, all because I was a little chunky. I'm just thinking of the horrors. So anyway, so yeah, I was raised on sweetener and I learned to love it. And so that wasn't a bad thing by any means. So that's the reason why I'm getting this out, is because if you can suffer less than I did, or my family did, or my great-grandparents, who, by the way, died in their 40s because they didn't have the kind of care that we have today, with diabetes. If I can prevent that, if I can actually help you live a little bit longer, or myself live a little bit longer, myself included, then I've done what I can do. So that's the reason why I do this, and this is the reason why I'm passionate about it. I'm certainly not a endocrinologist, but I admire the heck out of them. I'm not a nurse, but I admire them. I mean, I have worked as a nurse in the past, but that's old. I don't have a license in it. I'm just a diabetic girl, okay? I didn't specialize in anything like that. So a lot of the stuff that I actually get is from online and talking to my doctors. Some of them who are clueless, and some of them who know exactly what I'm talking about because they keep up on the medicine. So it's a little bit disheartening, for instance, when I go into a doctor's office and they know little to nothing about what I'm talking about. And then I had to put my finger up to my lip. I'm like, when they're doing the best they can. So they may specialize in something else. I don't expect them to know everything. Like, you know, a general doctor, I don't expect them to know anything about diabetes except for the basic. Okay, test the blood sugar, or the A1C is too high. You need to go see a specialist, somebody who specializes in this. Don't expect things out of your doctors that your doctors don't specialize in. They have their purpose. They mean you well. They just want to see you get better. And that's it. So remember, be kind to people. Don't expect every good deed that you do to go unpunished, okay? So this does happen. This is where it goes sideways. Sometimes it just doesn't work out. Sometimes a little bit more thoughtful good deed probably goes a lot further than one you try to do and it doesn't necessarily quite work out how you intended. I don't know what to think about this, but I've only had about half of the good deeds that I've actually put out there actually come back positive. The rest have come back negative. So it's kind of like a 50-50 thing. And I kind of wonder sometimes, would it be better for me to do nothing or to take that chance that that person really needed that good deed that day? So I'm still working on me and trying to figure that one out. If I offer somebody a sandwich, do they make like 5 times more than I do? So, and they're just dressed like a bum that day. I, you know, makes me wonder sometimes. But other times, yeah, sometimes it is needed, and sometimes they want it. But and just to tell you a story, okay, because my mother was extremely poor after she divorced my dad. This is the reason why people fear divorce, by the way, is because they know how poor they're going to be, because, you know, half their income has been cut off and they don't know what their partner's going to do. Yeah, sure, they have like six other children, but that doesn't mean that they're going to get their support. I mean, they could lose their job. You know, there's a lot of things that could happen. And of course, my mother went through that, where she had to receive help from her church. That was back when the LDS church did actually help people. Now they just don't care about people. But so the ladies of the Relief Society in her LDS church asked her if she wanted some clothes. And so, of course, she said yes. So they gave her bundles and boodles and utter, like, bags of clothes. And next thing you know, there's like 20 bags sitting in this house of clothes. And she's like, oh yeah, we got some clothes from these people after their yard sale. Okay, that was great. But literally nothing in any of those bags actually fit. So then we got to take everything to the dumpster, or we have to donate it back to DI or something of that nature. So even though they meant well, you know, they're like going, oh yeah, they got like a ton of kids. Something in there's got to fit them. It was just basically unloading their garbage for them. And actually, technically, Desert Industries does that to this day. They still ship over tons of clothing, tons of it, ship it over to Africa or ship it to other third world countries that need clothing. So, and then you got these amazing amounts, copious amounts of clothing in these dumps, right, where they literally couldn't do anything with them except throw them in the dumpsters. And so basically it went from, they picked through the couple of scraps that they actually wanted, and the majority of the crap that was actually sent to them went in the garbage pile. And it was just a way for them to actually take a load, you know, for the DI to actually take a load off of their donations and what they actually had coming in. So no good deed necessarily goes unpunished. It's the dirty side of good deeds. There's always a dirty side of everything, right? So then we got to start looking at what we're doing to these other countries by unloading all of our crap on them. So, yeah, don't think that thing's sitting in Goodwill either all the time. Same thing happens with Goodwill. They end up bundling up those clothes and sending it to a third world country. But interestingly enough, I mean, there's a history on that too. I actually watched a documentary on it a long time ago where they actually bundle up those clothes and they ship it to a warehouse and people bid on those clothes. They don't have any idea what's inside of it. It's kind of like one of those Amazon pallets where you don't know what you're going to get. So you may buy $1,000 worth of sippy cups. You're stuck with these sippy cups because that's what you bought. You have no idea. It's kind of like one of those gambles, those grab bags full of junk. So it's definitely risky. So there's professional brokers who actually buy those clothes so that you know, they can hopefully make some money out of them, because of course you have designer brands in there that won't fit anybody, or they had a spot on them or something. And yeah, they just throw those clothes out too. They don't keep them. Like, you get a spot on something, just throw it out. Nobody can use it. They don't even use it in Africa, okay? Or any third world country, because they can't even sell it. They can't even make enough money to do anything with it. So, I mean, once you get a spot on it, they won't come out. Don't expect somebody else to be able to do anything with it either, because they're just going to throw it out. There's so many clothes out there that they don't have to clean your Ralph Lauren shirt, polo shirt or whatnot. Not when they could probably have like 10 others. So anyways. All right. So anyways, thank you so much for listening. I hope you've enjoyed the station. Thank you for being you, for being the wonderful diabetic or diabetic supporter that you are. Without you, this would not be possible. And I really enjoy the heck out of the fact that people listen to my channel. I enjoy the heck out of the fact that I can go down to my car right now, turn on my radio, and I got a station, and I'm talking about diabetic things for diabetics. I get a kick out of that. So What can I say? All right. Hope that you found this useful, helpful. Hope you make some money if you play the stock market. Or I hope that somehow this improves your health in some form, fashion, or way, or even saves your life. So I thought that this was important enough to actually do an additional episode. So thank you so much once again for listening. This is Mark Coleman Frankowitz. Please do something kind for somebody. But if it comes to bite you in the butt, which it may, you got a 50-50 chance of that. Just remember, that's normal. It's normal. I don't care what anybody says. It's going to happen. All right. Thank you again for listening. And you have a great day.